Hello and welcome back to Two Tipsy Plants podcast, where we talk plants and
drink booze.
My name is Sasha.
And my name is Sasha. Hello and there.
Yes. Hi, Sasha.
Hi, Sasha.
And it has been a while and a half since episode one, but I think it was a good break.
I think it was a much needed break as well. And considering that we had so many interactions with our friends over the Christmas, I don't see us keeping up with the recordings and edits and...
Well, I mean, everybody should take a break, but I mean, it also gave us a chance to kind of rethink and think what we want to do for...
This season.
And yeah, so how about maybe you talk about wine, pour some wine, and then we will talk first about what we are thinking of doing this year, this season for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will talk about today's topic, which is quite a short topic, but kind of will explain why we're doing this. And today's topic will be what's in season, but also what's next on Two Tipsy Plants. Yes. Okay, Sasha, so as a tradition goes, what's the poison of choice today?
The poison of choice is wine. And honestly, we're going to be drinking it straight away, probably. Maybe just a little bit, because I want it to breathe a bit.
Well, how about you pour a little bit and then just put the rest in the decanter? Yes. Ooh, oh, yeah. Ooh, that sound.
My gosh, I can smell it from here.
So what are we drinking today?
So today we're drinking Pinotage from North Canterbury, from Viper, from Muddy Water. Done by Muddy Water Winery.
So this North Canterbury is our local wine region, literally an hour away from where we live. I actually love their wines. They're very different from like your, even the Pinot Noirs, like if you get the Pinot Noirs from here, they're very different from...
It's all about the soil and the terroir and the climate.
Ooh,
she's interesting.
Yes. Okay, do you wanna... Okay, actually, how about we start talking about the podcast as well and the plans for the future and the fact that we are launching...
A second platform, essentially. A second podcast called...
Yes.
Two Tipsy.
Two Tipsy. Where we will... So the wines that we will drink on this podcast, we will actually talk a bit more about them on Two Tipsy podcast, but also Two Tipsy podcast is going to be about...
Just exclusively about wine.
Yes.
Because the thing is that... I would like to talk more about wine, but judging how much time it already takes for us to record an episode for this platform and how much time can be dedicated to that, kind of doesn't make sense to talk more about.
Well, I feel like we will still tie them together, but yes. I think it would be good to dedicate just episodes to just wine. And Tara, could you pass me a glass, please? Thank you. I can't reach for it. I think it is a good idea, and I actually do want to explore it a little bit more. So we will be launching a second podcast. So with Two Tipsy Plants, we are launching an episode every 2 weeks.
Yep.
But with your podcast,
it's going to be more on a monthly basis.
Yes, which will give us a bit more room to think about what we want to talk about and also perhaps find interesting wines as well.
Yeah, I would definitely say that this one is a good start to the podcast.
Ooh!
Because we will record it today as well. Okay. Just an entrance. And this wine in particular, it's going to be quite a rarity because as far as I'm concerned, but maybe somebody will correct me, they are pulling the vines for Pinotage from Muddy Water. So unfortunately, that's going to be the last bottle I'll have.
I think as a teaser... For the Two Tipsy, I can say that this wine is definitely it smells spicy. Like it smells very spicy and also very ripe cherries.
As it should be. So it is intense and quite heavy on the nose with aromas of black cherry, herbs, spice, and some savory notes.
I think we believe
at least that's what they say that is.
Yeah.
And the vines for this wine are 20-year-old.
So
it's not too young. but also it's not that old.
It's also very, like, a lot of tenants in that, definitely. All right, cha-ching.
Ka-ching.
Nice. I think we will talk about this wine more on to Tipsy. Sorry, that was my camera. I'm doing some fancy shots about us doing cheers and stuff.
Do you want to do it right in the camera?
Oh, I've already switched it off, sorry. Okay. Anyway, so yes, we will talk about the wine itself and also the history and mythology of wine and also what to expect.
And how to properly to drink and smell, yes, taste your wine and what to look for into it. In
yes.
It.
And just, I guess, stories about wine as well and just personal stuff about wine.
So and just that, some banter.
Yes. So that will be Tutu Tipsy Plants. Find us again on the same platforms and our
links will be in description.
Yes, and our Instagram is gonna stay the same for both the podcast for now. We will see how that will go. Right. And for Two Tipsy Plants, which is this podcast, do you wanna tell them what we're thinking for this season?
For this season, for this season.
As in, like, what was the inspiration for this season?
The inspiration for this season
is to make it more personal.
Just a bit more personalized, yes. So, essentially, the greatest example will be today. We'll be just talking about what is in season for whatever is indoors or outdoors.
Well, yes.
What needs to be planted, how you need to maintain your outdoor area or indoor area.
Yeah, and hold on.
And our experience with that.
Oh my god, I just mucked up the whole thing. Sorry, I was just looking at some of the episodes that we've already planned, and I've accidentally entered the whole notes for this episode into it, so nice. I'll need to delete it. But yes, what Sasha was trying to say, and I guess what our inspiration for this podcast was, for the season, was to make it a bit more personal in terms of we want to share our experiences with different plants. Yes, it's very, the wine is like, woo! In this season, we will be talking about things that we notice around us, but also we will be rating some plants. I think we should do the garden plants and the house plants in two different episodes. Yes.
Two different episodes. All right.
Yeah. We might do a smash or pass of different plants and see where our preferences differ. We will share some experiences of plants that we have and how we grew them and how they didn't do it for us.
A little bit of a plant tinder, if you may.
Yes. So, this time around, I think we want to make it a bit more personal. I still enjoyed season one. Don't get me wrong, because I think we've done a lot of research and we've actually learned a lot ourselves, which is great. But
did I remember much? Probably not. I think it was a little bit way too much wine.
Okay, we have we actually have two co-hosts in the house today.
Co-host Rosie, please come here.
Yes, we have a co-host Rosie, which is also known as Potato, which is behind me. She just wants cuddles. And we also have my puppy, Bolto.
Co-host Poopy.
Co-host Poopy, yes, who is currently just chilling in the entranceway. I think maybe because it's cool there. But yes, they can finally be together in the same room. They don't play together, but they can be together in the same room. Rosie, can you not bump your head on the table, please? Thank you. Personal, very personal, we're just gonna chat pretty much about plants.
I think everybody gets it. We don't need to explain us any much further.
No, I'm just saying that it's gonna be a very chilled season.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so the first topic that we want to talk about is what's in season. We are currently in midsummer in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
February is midsummer in New Zealand. Yes, I know it's not.
I'm still putting my mind around it.
That February is actually
summer. That February is summer, not winter.
How many years have you been living
7
here?
Years and it still bugs me.
Considering the fact that you lived in Singapore before, where there are no changes in seasons whatsoever.
Seasons. Yes. There is no seasons
no
change.
Seasons. Yeah. All right. Well, what? Where do you want to start first? I've got a couple. Well, actually, most of my plants are outdoor plants.
I will probably do first plant, which you are quite familiar with. It is both indoor and outdoor plant.
Mm-hmm.
not so much outdoor for the South Island, but you can definitely see it outdoor on in Auckland. Bougainvillea.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, it does grow in New Zealand.
In South Island, yes, but not. It's mostly conservatory plants. It needs. It doesn't.
It just needs
tolerate.
Shelter. Yeah, it needs shelter from frost. It's very frost sensitive, unfortunately. Yeah. Do you remember? In
Do you remember?
Singapore, in skate park, there was a trellis with bougainvillea growing on it, a bright pink one.
Yep.
Yeah, that's like whenever somebody says bougainvillea, that's what I remember. That beautiful, beautiful
throwbacks.
Yeah.
But yeah, typical. The name of the species is Bougainvillea speciosa, I guess, because I don't know the, like, I've tried to find the more particular species name.
Well, SPP means species, not speciosa.
Let's be more Harry Potter, like, speciosa. Origin, it takes its origin from South Africa. South America, not South Africa. But it is also wildly cultivated around the world.
Yes.
Flowering and fruiting season is around spring and autumn.
So
from spring to autumn.
Nice. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's got like nice papery leaves.
Yeah, it does look like Chinese lanterns.
Abutilons? Are you talking about them?
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, they do look similar. And because there is a climbing abutilon as well, isn't there? Yeah. I wanted to say something about it and I forgot.
No.
Oh, they come in like pinks and reds. Have you ever seen like an orange one? I just wonder if there is an orange one.
I think whenever I saw orange one, I didn't really pay attention to it because I thought it's just a season for it to just dry up. I don't like the orange colors on papery flowers because it just looks like they're slowly dying. that's the exact reason I don't like Eucharis, because most of them just look like they're already, it's an autumn season. But that's their normal color.
Yeah, and I guess it's just like sometimes the leaves just dry out, and they.
But
do
even
look
when
like
they're
it.
Quite succulent and quite young, they still look very old. Like the yellow and orange color Eucharis are quite.
Yeah, there are some of them that do look like dry leaves, don't they? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll stick to the outdoor plants then, because bougainvillea, I guess, is kind of an outdoor plant. I was actually looking into my garden, the garden that I finally freaking started doing, you know, my middle garden that I kept talking about for the past season since the beginning of it. We finally started working on it, so we've planted quite a few plants.
You might need to do the update on our Instagram page and do the fly through with your camera.
Yeah, maybe once it's actually like full, because it's still not full, but a lot of plants are in flower. And what I've noticed, it's the season of the plants from the sunflower family. Not just the sunflowers, but from the sunflower family. So, echinaceas, rudbeckias.
The more I know.
And everything that kind of is daisy-like is in flower right now, right? The echinaceas.
Dahlias?
Dahlias as well. I actually do have them on my list as well.
Okay, I'll shut up.
No, it's okay. I don't have them in my garden, but I do have them on my list. In my garden, I actually have echinaceas, rudbeckias, and cosmos at the moment. So echinaceas are also known as coneflower.
Mm-hmm.
I personally absolutely love them. Coneflower.
Coneflower. Why?
Because of the way... So coneflowers, I think they are known that because they kind of grow like the badminton thingy. What is it called? The actual...
Valanchik?
Yeah, I've got no idea how it's called in English, sorry, but the badminton thing that you pass from one person to another. So coneflowers kind of grow in that manner. They open up from the bottom up. But also echinaceas, they have a very spiky center and it's beautiful. And apparently in Greek, the word echinos means hedgehog. Because it's so spiky.
Well, that's why echidna. Ta-dum.
Ta-dum. Yeah. Yeah. And apparently, well, a lot of people use it in like traditional medicine, and you can still buy echinacea extract and stuff. But unfortunately, there isn't sufficient scientific evidence that it does anything good.
That it does anything good.
Yeah. Like, I mean... I guess, I don't know if it's a placebo effect. Maybe there is minor, like, effects that it does do,
I am a strong believer that all, what is it, not national, but
Traditional?
Traditional medicine has its value and has its merits, just because that's the knowledge that have been passed from generation to generation, which is generational observation,
yeah,
which should not be dismissed as well.
No, I'm not saying that it should be dismissed. I'm just saying that, unfortunately, like, there isn't that much scientific evidence, but obviously...
They're just not looking right in the right place, not for the right thing.
I mean, come on, I'm the person who mixes, like, a bunch of herbs to make a tea so I can sleep, you know? Like, yeah. I do believe in that shit.
Well, that's why you have, what is it? Orange bergamot behind you that I just received. So I can make myself an Earl Grey once it actually has oranges on it.
Do leaves smell like that as well?
No.
Oh. They do smell nice, though.
Yeah, it smells like normal citrusy leaves, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But then on that note, I'll just quickly throw rudbeckias and cosmos in there, if that's okay. Rudbeckias, also known as black-eyed Susans. Black-eyed Susan.
Black-eyed Susan, okay.
Yeah, so it kind of looks like a sunflower with black center and like yellow or orange or red petals around. The one that I have is called Sun Spirit. It's a double-leafed rudbeckia, so it's nice and full and fluffy. Apparently, it attracts I haven't seen dragonflies in my garden because obviously they like water and I don't really have a lot of water bodies around, but dragonflies...
What do you mean you have much water bodies around? You have literally a stream...
Yeah,
that,
but it's not
that
right.
Goes out of banks once or twice a year.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, a good 10 minute walk from our house. It's not that close.
Or a second of fly.
But yeah, I mean, apparently rudbeckias attract dragonflies, which eat mosquitoes. And
which is good.
Yeah, so it's like a good biocontrol of mosquitoes called that way. Did you know that rudbeckias are also toxic to cats when ingested? I didn't know that.
Well, hopefully our cats aren't going to do that.
No, my cats don't really eat garden plants. Do you know what Mia did today? Like, off topic, but that son of a cat, daughter of a cat, I can hear her. She comes into the room, like, I'm doing research for this podcast, right? She comes into the room and I can hear this, like, cute meow. And I'm like, oh, so cute. And then I wanted to turn around, but then I can hear this flapping and like I can
feel... So she brought a bird.
I can feel the flapping on my leg and I'm like, what's going on? Yes, she brought a bird. I managed to grab her...
By the back of the Hulk?
Neck? Hulk? Whatever it's called. You know, like the way they carry the kittens, that area. So yeah. I kind of lightly shook it and then she let go of the bird and the bird flew out. So the bird was... still flying, which is good.
is all right.
Yes, I don't know if it survived or not, but she was looking for that bird in the house for the next hour because she did not see the bird fly because it ran under the couch and then jumped out and flew and she was like, where did it go? And I'm like, Mia, you don't need to bring me birds. I can feed myself. You don't have to show me how to hunt because she clearly brought it to me because I was sitting in my office.
Yep. talking about cats and trying to catch birds. Wanda recently have learned her lesson. Well, I hope she did, because she got pecked by a bird when she was trying to...
Was it the little bird that was living on your grape?
So she got pecked by a mama bird, so she has a very big dent on her back of the neck.
Aww. I mean, like, poor Wanda, but also, yes, like, you shouldn't try it.
So yeah, it's a little bit gross, very, very swollen, but it's fine. She'll manage. Cats heal quite quickly.
Not infected or anything?
No.
Nice. The last one that I've mentioned is cosmos from that same
cosmos.
So those three plants I have in my garden.
Such a
now.
Cool name for such a not flesh plant.
Well, the one that I have is an annual cosmos because I obviously I planted all these plants and I was like, it looks bare. I want some annuals, annuals in between, just so I can bulk it up a bit, until the shrubs and perennials take over. So the one that I have is like a pink and red, like, and the flowers don't stay that long. They only like flower for like a day or two.
Can
and
you
then
do
they...
anything with cosmos flowers? Like, are they edible? Are they teable?
Teable. I don't think they are. Have you ever seen a chocolate cosmos?
No.
It smells like chocolate.
Oh, nice.
Yes. It's like dark.
Is it brown?
It's dark red, almost brown color. Yes. And it smells like chocolate. Yes, which is native to Mexico, and apparently people thought that it's not like available in the wild anymore. It's extinct in the wild, but no, it's apparently it's quite abundant in the wild in Mexico. Yeah.
Well, we
Yes.
need to look into it and see if you can actually use it.
The local family-owned box shop sells them.
No, I mean if you can use it.
Oh, if you can use it. Sorry, I thought
Yeah.
if you can find
Not
it.
if I can find it, no.
Yeah.
I'm not interested that much in field flowers. I do like poppies, though. So I'm gonna grow poppies in your wild garden?
I don't know. I'll see.
Outdoor
Because poppies
thingy?
are obviously spring flowers. So I'll see if I'll want more annuals in my garden in spring. Yeah. At this stage, I'm happy with what's there. I also have heliums? I have something that starts with H from the sunflower family that hasn't flowered yet. Like, it's already... It's very tall. It's like a meter plus tall. But, like, there are the buds, but they haven't opened yet. So once they open, I'll update you all on what it is.
Were you trying to say that you have Helianthus anus?
No. Which is sunflower.
Sunflower, yes.
Yeah.
Which is from North America, and flowers and fruits from summer to autumn.
What about Russia? Because some of the giant Russian sunflowers are they... Actually, I don't know if they're native to Russia. Yeah.
Yeah, sunflowers are heliotrophic, which means that they turn their face to the sun.
Yes.
Yes, we have discussed that in one of our previous episodes.
Yeah. And they, some of them produce big, like, proper sunflower seeds that you can eat. And some of them just, they're just pretty. The dwarf ones are just pretty.
Yep.
Yeah.
The other plant that is in season at the moment, and I can't get enough of it, and can't stop harvesting, is a lavender. Which we have right here. This is from my bush.
Your bush? Did you trim your bush?
I keep on trimming my bush, but it keeps on regrowing. Everybody's problem, I guess. So yeah, it is originated from the... its origin is Mediterranean region.
Yes.
As obviously it is blooming time is on in summer.
It kind of it's got a very long blooming summer, doesn't it? Because I think it does it twice.
Rosie out. Sorry.
Rosie sneakily started eating cat food behind Sasha. Yes. You big potato. You don't need cat food.
But yeah, I think buying the lavender bush and finally finding the lavender bush that can be used for teas and for aromatherapies and everything, that kind of made me buy
English lavender.
Made me buy the orange bergamot because I actually didn't even know that bergamot herb that is sold in box stores is not actually
Manantra. Yeah, no,
yeah,
it's
not the thing. Like, you probably still can
not,
use
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's not the tea bergamot. Yeah.
Yeah. So bought myself an orange bergamot. So I'm excited to get that, and now I just need to buy green tea bush, a couple of them. And but you can buy them in Mitra tin.
Yeah, but it's not a green tea.
It's just tea. Yeah, green tea. Just tea.
Yes, it's just tea.
It's
yeah.
just tea.
Because camellia... Oh, God, it's going to bug me now. Camellia... Sasha, tell me, and I'll tell you.
Cintia? I don't know.
Camellia sinensis. There you go. Yes, it's camellia sinensis. Yes.
So, just the only species of camellia that I actually like.
Well, actually, it doesn't produce that big of a flower, but also it's not the flower that you use to actually
you
make
actually
the tea.
You actually use leaves.
And
I don't know how many people know that depending on how you treat the leaves, you make the teas. It's not that it's different species of teas that you grow to make different types of tea. It's how you roll it, how you age it, and how you ferment it.
Well,
that
we're talking about the actual tea and not tea saints, right? Just the tea plant.
Yeah.
Yes, Sasha is correct. It is a single camellia sinensis plant, and depending on the way you harvest it and ferment it and what you do with it, you can get white tea, green tea, black tea,
yellow tea, oolong tea.
Oolong tea, yes, everything comes
matcha.
From the same plant, believe it or not. Ooh, matcha. Matcha is such a tricky thing, like you need to know how to make it, because sometimes you can overdo it and it's just like,
yeah,
and sometimes you
like
can
fish.
Underdo it and you're like, eh? Yeah.
Yeah, I do love lavender because it. Like, I started drying it, and I started collecting it in my little
and giving it to Sasha as well, aka me. And
yeah.
Every time I come to his house, he's like, oh, do you want more lavender? And I'm like, no.
Now I have a vial on my spice rack that just has lavender flowers, because then you can just add, like, you don't even need much. It's just like five small flowers will do just fine for the whole pot of tea.
Yes.
It's very potent.
It's very potent, but it's also very, like, lavender has calming effects. My colleague, she was having troubles with sleeping, actually. So I've suggested that I gave her some of my concoction, my tea. And she said, like, it didn't help her with sleeping, but it helped her to actually fall asleep, which was good,
good enough
feedback.
Good start.
Yeah.
Considering that all that it took just to drink a tea.
Yeah. Yeah. So this shit works.
To some extent, but it works.
Yeah. Do you have another plant?
Yeah, I have corn. It's corn!
Actually, before we go to edibles, because I've got edibles as well, would you mind if I'll continue with perennials? Maybe we do non-edibles.
I can do a pitcher plant.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, it's not exactly the season for pitcher plants at the moment. Why am I going to the sideways of the microphone? I don't know. But it's the first time in the past 3 years it's finally started pitchering for me. And it's very it's very prolific.
It started pitchering.
Yeah. I'm so happy about it.
How long has it had its flowers for on it? Because it's been...
It's, well, fun fact, it's not a flower. It's a leaf modification.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, how long has it had its leaf modification? Sorry, I'm just trying to change the angle so you can see the lovely plants.
So, yeah, during the winter time, it has none of them, because to actually have those pictures, it needs to have a lot of sunlight and a lot of warmth and a lot of moisture, which now I am able to... provide for that. I'm actually put it in front of the window in my laundry, and it's just always hot, always sunny,
always moist.
I try to keep it always moist, because once it's dry, the pitchers fall.
Yeah, but I'm assuming that because it's in laundry, it's always like the moisture levels are still high in the laundry room rather than...
No, because we have new washing machine and new dryer, so it's good. It's actually not wet there anymore. Yeah, but if we are talking about the plants that are in season, there is this beauty, which is Sarracenia, which is, there are two types of pitcher plants. One of them are from North America, I think it is. Those are Nepenthes, and the pitcher plants that are not in that family are Sarracenias, and that's what you see over here going down.
So it's the longer, it's still a pitcher plant, as in it has the same catching leaf modification.
Yeah.
What's that flower? Is that a flower?
That's a flower.
That's so beautiful.
It's pollinated, and I'm going to be waiting very anxiously for it to provide me with some seeds so I can make more of them.
I like the little pouch under.
I know, it's very cool.
So is that where the seeds will be?
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, it is already pollinated.
Nice.
So I just need to wait until it's mature.
Aww. No. Nice.
So yeah, I'm happy. Unfortunately, I was not able to keep this beauty flowering because I went... I can't remember where did I go. I think I went to Australia, and that's when it got too dry and the flower just...
It's okay.
It's fine. I'll wait. I'll wait for the next bloom.
Okay. I'll just maybe throw a couple of more perennials, and then we can talk about edibles.
Mm-hmm.
So what's in season, and it grows all over in Christchurch and probably the whole New Zealand now, because the plant is actually in season, as in it's in fashion season, you know what I mean, as Garas.
Elaborate on that, because I can't remember who are they. Garas?
If you or Goros, like people pronounce it differently, if you Google it, G-A-U-R-A.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I love them. They look very cool.
Yeah, they're also known as, like a lot of people call them whirling butterflies, even though that's a cultivar name, but they are called as bee blossoms. The scientific name or botanical name is Oenothera lindemirai. Now, I actually thought it was Gara lindemirai, but apparently it's Oenothera. Fun fact, which I like, Sasha, and you will like, the etymology of the name. It's uncertain, but it is believed to be derived from the Greek word oinosthera, meaning wine sicker. So every time you look at those plants now, you'll be like, it's seeking for some wine.
There is some wine in the area.
there's some wine in this house.
There is definitely.
Yes, and Gara, apparently, again, Greek name, means superb. So it's a superb wine seeker, or it's looking for superb wines.
I like either way.
Yeah. It should be the flower of your, well, our Too Tipsy podcast.
The seeker of a superb wine.
Yes, yes.
Wine.
Yeah.
Is it annual or perennial?
Perennial.
And how does it look like when it doesn't flower, just like a tussock?
It kind
of...
Well, perennials can be winter dormant as well. Mm. Gara is kind of... You're supposed to trim it almost to the ground in winter.
So like lavender.
With lavender, no, you're not trimming it to the ground in winter.
Okay,
you
not
trim
to
it.
Okay.
You trim it 2/3 of the size of the plant. Yes. With Garas, you almost trim it to the ground, almost, like you still live a little bit out, just so that it's nice and bushy next season.
Okay.
Yes. And the last plant in this category that I have is, you've already said it, dahlias.
Dahlias.
Yeah.
Talk to me about dahlias, please.
Well, I only kind of took the interesting facts, but obviously dahlias are associated with love and roses, because, I mean, even if you think about New Zealand... Christchurch Botanical Gardens, the rose garden. Roses are in the middle, and then around is the dahlia garden. And yeah, they are just associated with love and everything summer. But what's interesting is apparently one thing is dahlias were used before the discovery of insulin in 1923. Diabetics as well as consumptives?
Let's just stop at diabetics.
Yes. apparently, they were giving a substance called Atlantic starch, or diabetic sugar, which was derived from inulin, a naturally occurring form of fruit sugar extracted from dahlia tubers.
Mm.
Yeah, which is interesting. It's still used in tests for kidney functionality.
So does that mean that dahlia tubers are edible?
I think only some species, like don't go eating dahlia tubers, please, but I think some species are. But what's another interesting fact is apparently in 1849, the Caledonian Horticultural Society of Edinburgh offered a prize of £2,000 to the first person succeeding in producing a blue dahlia. If you think about it, blue dahlias don't exist. They exist in every single color there is but blue. And apparently that's because they produce an element that is... They do produce the element that is like necessary for production of blue color. You can never achieve a true blue like in delphiniums, let's say. And to date, like some people try to develop them, but they are not quite blue. They're more sort of mauve.
Maroon?
Mauve or like lilac or dark purples. Yeah, they're not quite blue.
Mauve, such a weird word. Mauve.
No,
it's fine. I like to mauve it.
yeah, which I found it interesting because if you think about it, yeah, there are no blue dahlias. Yeah.
And great.
Mm-hmm.
The next one on our list will be ZMAs.
Corn.
Ah. Native to America.
Oh, ZMAs. Yeah, ZMAs. No, I got it now. That was the botanical name.
Yeah.
I thought you said ZMAs.
ZMAs. No, yeah. Corn. flower produces the fruits in summer. Yes, it's a little bit wet, so be careful.
Exhibit
you
A.
You can start peeling it back. Each silk strand on a corn cob is connected to a single kernel. I just looked up some facts about corn, and I think it's quite interesting. So yeah,
you'll be hearing some ASMR peeling of corn in the background. Sorry.
When you take a closer look at corn on a cob, you'll notice the delicate threads-like structures known as corn silk. Could you demonstrate those, sir?
Yeah. Do you know that there is a corn silk tea?
No.
Yeah, it's a Chinese tea. I've actually tried it. It's interesting. But yeah, apparently the tea is made out of the corn silk, which is all of that.
All that fluffy stuff.
Yeah.
And all that fluffy stuff is actually what is responsible for the plant to get pollinated.
Oh, so with corn, right, there is, I think we've discussed it before, but there is a flower that appears at the top, and then each...
There is the it's not a flower, the stigma, the thing that is the sexual organ of it, is the silk.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, if you look at corn plant itself, there is a flower on top of the plant, and then there is this, which grows, it doesn't grow on top, right, it grows from the sides of the plant, and this has a flower as well? So I think that's a female and this is a male or something like that, isn't it?
Other way around. The top one is a male and the female is the one that you just broke.
Oh, no. Oh, that's my plate. We were looking for this plate.
You're okay. Welcome to take it back.
Sorry, I've just realized that it's my plate. Because Max is like, where is the plate? I'm like, I don't know, maybe one of the flatmates. Well, we've got like a temporary
flatmate. Well, I used to be your flatmate, so you're not wrong.
Yeah, you son of a bitch. Yum. No, not for you. Not for you, potato.
So, yeah, when a grain of pollen successfully reaches the ovule through a silk, the fertilization occurs. So it is typically fertilized by wind.
And which doesn't happen in a lot of plants.
Wind. No, it doesn't. But that explains why it doesn't have much beautiful flowers on it. It doesn't need to have any pollinators. It just
needs to catch it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting. I'm actually reading this book called Silent Earth by I'm so sorry, I can't remember the name of the author. But it's pretty much about if all the insects disappeared, what would happen? And obviously we can still rely on products like this, like corn and wheat and stuff, but it's not very nutritious.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't really survive long. You'll struggle.
You would need to have a lot of supplements.
Yes. Which are usually derived from plants, but you know, it's a good book, but yeah. Just interesting how, you know, like foods like that.
Easy staple, but it's not going to be nutritious enough.
Yeah, they're not nutritious enough. You need to have your colors on your plate. Yeah.
All right, the next plant can be stone fruit, which just incorporates a lot of different ones. Because nectarines, plums,
cherries,
everything right now is in season.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see it in your supermarkets being sold in bulk.
Have you gone to Red Zone?
No, I actually haven't. I should probably.
Yeah, so in Christchurch, we have an area called Red Zone, which is pretty much, it's quite a big area around Avon River, where during the 2010 and 2011 earthquakes, liquefaction of the land happened. So that land is not suitable for
development anymore.
Yeah, for development of the houses, but it used to have a lot of houses. And what happened is the council bought all that land. They took the houses out, but where they could, they actually left a lot of trees in place. So it's interesting, if you walk there, it's like a massive meadow, pretty much. But then you have trees growing in like square shapes.
Yeah, it's obviously quite creepy because you can see where was the division between the houses.
Yeah. But a lot of fruit trees are left and people just go there gathering during different seasons because, you know, it's public land now. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they sell it on marketplace.
Yeah. I have one edible from my own garden. Do you have anything that you're growing this season?
Yeah, I have tomatoes.
Oh yes, actually, you do have them on the table here as well.
Yep, I have grown Roma tomatoes because last season I grown just moneymakers and it was way too much. Now I see why they are moneymakers, because they just give you so much fruit.
Although your green... was it like a green tomato salsa you made? Mm-hmm. That was very yum. Like it was spicy and very yum.
I just had a shit ton of it. So don't recommend planting 20 plants.
Did you plant plants or seeds?
I planted seeds.
And they all germinated.
They all germinated and I didn't have heart to get rid of them. So I planted all of them thinking like, oh, maybe it will not take, but they all took. So I had shit ton of tomatoes.
Yeah. I'm growing tomatoes as well. I'm growing two types. I'm growing Roma as well. And I'm growing maybe Potente? I can't remember, like the bigger type as well. They're doing okay, but also I'm growing everything in like tubs and troughs. What I'm getting a lot of is squash. Have you seen a patty pan squash before?
Is it that flat looking one?
Yes, it's also known as patisson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've never grown it before. I actually didn't know that it exists before. I bought a packet of seeds of different zucchinis. It was like three or four different types, and then, you know, planted them, mm-hmm. they germinated, and then this strange looking flat zucchini started growing, and I'm like, what's this and what do I do with this? That was last year, and then I think it was Max's mom who was like, oh, that's a patisson, like it's a patty pan squash, which is pretty much just like zucchini, but it you can like eat the whole plant, and you usually collect them green, as in while they're not super mature.
Mm.
It's quite yum. Very versatile as well. And
it's quite small though.
Well, the early ones were like that mm-hmm. big, like about maybe a width of your typical cup size,
mm-hmm.
like a drinking cup glass. The one that I harvested recently was a size of like a small side plate.
Mm.
And it was quite chunky as well. I cooked half of it yesterday and half of it is still in the fridge. But yeah, that was the biggest one that I've collected so far. But yeah, they keep... Some of them rot out before they actually mature to the harvestable size. But some of them... I'm getting a lot of them anyway, so I'm like, yeah, some of them can rot out. I don't care. Yeah.
They'll just go into compost for the next season.
Mm. But yeah, that's what's in season in my garden.
Also in my garden, blueberries.
Are they... Oh, yes, they are in season. Now, that explains all the sales on blueberries in the supermarket.
I mean, I didn't water it well enough, so it's still not there yet. I need to intensify my watering schedule, and then it will ripen up much more quick.
Do you know if you've got rabbit eye or the North Highland varieties?
Beats me, I don't know.
So, with blueberries, there are two different varieties. I can't remember what the actual difference between them is, but there is the Highland variety, and there is a rabbit eye. And if you want your... Like, blueberries are obviously self-fertile, mm-hmm. but they do benefit from having a cross-pollinator, and if you plant the rabbit eye and the Highland, they just pollinate much better, and you will get more fruit out of it. Yeah, just
I don't think I need more fruit. It's quite heavy as is.
That's nice. I mean, obviously someone could have another variety, like your neighbors could have another variety. That's the thing about like Fijoyas. When I worked at that place that sells plants before, people were like, oh, what about like cross-pollination of Fijoyas? Because the only true self-pollinating variety is the Unique,
mm-hmm.
Fijoya Unique. But they produce relatively small fruit, where your like golden, I can't remember the name of it, the variety name, but the ones that require cross-pollination are much bigger, like they're really nice, juicy Fijoyas. And people worry about cross-pollination. I'm like, every second house like on your street probably has a Fijoya.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't worry about cross-pollination of Fijoyas in New Zealand because they grow so easy in here.
Yeah. I just got 5 standard Fijoas, so I don't think I'll have a problem with
with. Do you like Fijoas?
I like Fijoas.
Does Jamie like Fijoas?
No.
No.
It's fine, it's going to be all to myself. I'm going to Fijoa out.
You can try baking it, because apparently it's really good in baking.
Oh yeah, it's very nice for pies.
Yeah.
What else is in my garden? The other thing that is always in season is mint. Mine is just slowly taking over the garden.
Mine is in a pot. And if I don't forget to water it, it does grow well. Yeah. All right. I think that's all that I have on my list, because I was just being, you know, observant and looking at things that are... Oh, do you still have more things? Okay, awesome.
I think another good thing for keeping in mind, because we're talking about what's in season, what is good to put into the garden this season?
Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm. If you want to have anything colorful, like, the bedding plants will be your go. Well, we're not in spring anymore, so let's go to the summer bedding plants. And one of them probably going to be marigolds
mm-hmm.
that I kind of want to put into my garden at some point.
Marigolds are also good companion plants. So Mary Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's fine. No, you can say it. I'll just.
No, I thought you were skipping to another one.
Marigolds are warm season. They're warm season annuals with bright and cheerful flowers.
Mm-hmm.
They also have an ability to repel certain pests.
I don't think they repel. I think they actually attract pests to themselves so that the pests don't go onto other plants.
So yeah, potentially, it's just the information that I found. Marigolds, they are widely recognized as bringing the value into it as a companion plant.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do, they repel nematodes, which...
They repel aphids, that I know for sure.
They attract aphids to themselves.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, but they
instead of your other edible plants, yeah, yes.
But they do repel nematodes, which are the small worms that you find in soil, and they can kind of eat up the roots of your plants.
Oh, okay.
They repel some insects. The strong aroma of marigolds can deter certain insects, including mosquitoes and some garden pests. It also kind of attracts the other beneficial insects, like ladybugs and hoverflies, which mm-hmm. will actually prey on your aphids and whatever pests you have in your garden.
Yes.
And it's just nice, adds nice color to your garden.
Fun fact.
Yeah.
The redder the marigold, the more companion
friendly
plant. Yeah. It's a fun fact that I've learned.
So the other good thing to keep in mind, marigolds have very dense foliage, so they can be very good for suppressing weeds.
Okay. Never thought about that, right?
Hmm.
Oh, hello, co-host number two. Hi. Hello, Bolto. Hello, darling.
Yeah, typical companion plant marigolds will be the French marigold and Tagetes erecta, known as African marigold.
Hmm.
The other things that you can put in your garden at the moment will be zinnias.
I actually have zinnias in my garden as annuals as well.
Yeah, they're quite vibrant, daisy-like flowers, and they're excellent for adding color for the summer bit.
Mine actually look like marigolds, the ones that I have. Mm-hmm.
Geraniums. Ugh. Don't like geraniums, don't like pelargoniums, they smell like carrots.
There is only one. So some of them, they smell different, right? There is one that smells like roses. There's one that smells like geranium, which is
Pelargoniums that are selectively bred to smell like something different. I like those because there is one that smells like verbena, like lemony,
mm-hmm.
zesty. There is another one that smells like pineapple. There is another one that repels mosquitoes because it smells like, what is it? Citronella.
Oh, citronella, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I would rather have that. And impatience. Impatience is quite good to be planted right now as well, but don't plant them in the direct sunlight. They are more of a pot shade than full shade.
Yep, because there are spring impatiens and there are like tropical big sun patients, they're also called, which tolerate sun, but they're the tropical ones. But yeah, your traditional impatiens, you are correct, should be in part sun.
What else would you plant at this point of time?
I don't know about planting, but what I would do is fertilizing all your winter-bearing fruit, like your citruses and stuff. Mm. Definitely throw some fertilizer so it produces more flowers, hence it will produce more fruit in winter. And also one thing about just something that I've noticed my neighbor was actually doing, and I'm like, you're gonna kill your plants, is do not water, especially surface water, as in like surface of the plant.
Do not
water.
Spray the leaves of your plants, that's what Sasha's trying to say, especially before the sun comes up. Not before sun comes
like
up.
Like in direct sun.
In direct sun.
Yeah, especially like in noon, you know, like you can't. You can water the soil, but still it's better in summer. It's much better to water it early in the morning.
Or late at night, late at evening.
Early in the morning is still better than late in the evening.
Yeah, because your plant is not going to be taking up the water during the nighttime. So early in the morning is the best time because that means that your plant is going to take that water and it's not going to get burned because imagine small lenses being on top of the leaves. That's what the droplets are, essentially. Just concentrating the sunlight on the spots and your plant will wilt and burn and suffer.
But also, excuse me, I've got
horn in my teeth.
Yes, Yes. Sorry, this just reminded me. Max was eating something spicy and he said, spicy. Spicy. It was so cute and funny at the same time. Anyway, it's like a lens that concentrates sunlight on the plant, but also evaporation generates heat. So when the droplets evaporate, they actually generate heat, which burns the plant as well. So it's like a dual burning dye sort of thing to the plant. So yes, don't water them in direct sunlight. Water them in the morning and try to avoid the foliage with water.
Also, don't really overdo it with the foliage watering, because if your area doesn't have much of the airflow, your small-leafed, dense foliage plants will start rotting.
Mm-hmm.
Because powdery mildew is a curse.
Ask me how I know it.
You did it exactly. Another fun thing that is not supposed to be in season, but is lemons.
Which I was actually, we were talking about it earlier with Sasha, and I'm like, nah, can't be, because lemons are winter crop.
Yeah, but my colleague from work just literally brought us a bucket of lemons because his lemon have produced a lot and he doesn't know what to do with it. I'm like, okay, I'll make some cupcakes.
Well, that's what I read, at least online, is lemon meyer, which is a cross between a mandarin and a lemon type, I think. I can't remember which one. Apparently, you can produce fruit like almost all year round, which confused me because like lemons and citrus is a winter crop usually. Mm. But yeah, that was interesting. Because Sasha has a massive ass lemon on the table now.
To compare with my face?
Hmm. Yeah.
This is me.
Nice. Well, I think this is us, actually. Do you remember the outro after all this time?
No, I don't. That's why I'm trying to.
Hmm. You've got a nice combo there on the table with like a lemon and lavender.
Mm-hmm, that's why I tried.
It's very nice, like spicy. I tried to make
it nicely organized.
Mm.
Insta-ready, if you may.
Thank you.
Well, that is a wrap on the Tipsy Plants. Thank you for getting tipsy with us today and joining in on our plant shenanigans. Plant-loving shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
We hope we have inspired you to grab a glass of wine or two and go out for plant shopping.
And go do some gardening.
Go fertilize your plants.
Yes.
If you would like to help our podcast to develop, feel free to follow us so you don't miss out on our next wild and tipsy adventures. And don't miss out on our next podcast. Well, not next podcast.
Too Tipsy. Another podcast.
Another podcast. Too Tipsy.
Yes. So we will share all the links and stuff, and that will be, as mentioned, will be more wine-based. But it's still two Sashas, your favorite two Sashas.
Keeping it green and keeping it tipsy.
Yes. Keeping it tipsy mostly there, keeping it green mostly here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.